You see, 5.5 weeks have gone by since we have crossed our foreheads with ashes and entered into this intentional period of fasting, prayer, and repentance. Many of us are beginning to feel the weight of the season of Lent. Indeed, if our Lenten commitments are to produce any spiritual fruit at all, they are probably heavy enough to weigh us down at this point. Our lectionary texts today during Lent help us feel that weight. They also direct us through the spiritual work that we should be doing. After all, abstaining from candy or television are bad by themselves, although their indulgence certainly could be. You know, we get let go of things that we're supposed to cause us trouble. We're supposed to let go of things that we like during the season of Lent. And I've always asked you all not to let go of those things, but I always ask you to do what? I ask you to take something on. I ask you to take on something good, to pray for somebody, to give something back to someone, to do something for someone, to pay it forward. We are preparing the way of the Lord and learning to walk in Jesus' footsteps as He makes His way to the cross. We are nearing Holy Week, when Jesus will show us the cost of following Him. How interesting that before we enter into that week of the narrative, the lectionary takes us to the raising of Lazarus and also tells us of the resurrected multitude in Ezekiel's valley of dry bones. That valley that was just laying waste. Why do we get resurrection before we come to the crucifixion? You see, it is true that we are simply following that narrative today of Jesus' life, and in that narrative, Jesus raises Lazarus just before entering into Jerusalem. However, we need to look a little bit deeper to see what these two passages from John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, and Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, are paired for this Sunday in the Christian year. Why now? Why this pairing? What are we to learn from these passages that will prepare us for Holy Week and the cross? You see, the Ezekiel passage seems fairly Lent appropriate to me. The imagery is thick and hard to miss. A prophet stands in a valley full of bones, dead, dry bones. Can't you just imagine the wind blowing dust around, tossing Ezekiel's threadbare robe and possibly giving him a chill? It's a terrible place to be. He's surrounded by dead bodies, so dry that they are now simply just a pile of bones. The prophet enters this disturbing sight of a mass grave, perhaps even more disturbing because no one ever bothered to bury those bodies. When we hear this story, we know it is a story of resurrection and hope. So we mentally check in somewhere around in verse 3 when it says, "Can these bones live?" That's when you start listening. You go, okay, can they? But let us follow the prophet. Let us follow that prophet who says that God led him all around the many bones, all of them. He went from pile to pile. We are told later that these are the slain of Israel. This is the people of Israel laying waste. That means these are the people who did not listen. These are the people who did not pay attention. These are the people who fell asleep on Sunday morning in worship. These are the people who got up and went somewhere else. These are the people who are paying attention to something else besides listening. These are the people somewhere along the way who forgot to pay attention, who forgot to listen to what God had in store for them. To take it one step further, this is the result of Ezekiel's message. Not repentance and forgiveness, but failure, stubborn sinfulness, hard-heartedness, and I like to say hard-headedness too, and ultimately death and decay. Here they are. I cannot imagine what it must have been like for Ezekiel to be led around knowing that the very purpose of his ministry was to keep this from happening. Despite his own faithfulness, he had been a faithful servant. He was faced once more with the reality and the end result of human sinfulness from all around him. Just as God led Ezekiel all around to survey the scene that day, we must too meditate on this reality. When we follow in our minds the course of human sinfulness, we see that it leads to death and decay. And it does. It leads to death and decay each and every day of our lives. We see people's lives thrown asunder by the roadside, not seeing the forest for the trees, not paying attention. You see, our truest repentance will come out a deeper knowledge of where our hard-heartedness will lead. For our own edification, we must sit and meditate on where the course of our lives will go without divine grace. Where's your life going without God? We must walk with Ezekiel all around that valley, because a major part of witness in the story of God's redemption is seeing just how much we need it. Just how much we need it when we see it. Those of us who have been staring in the darkness of our souls during this Lenten season know that we really do need God's resurrection. We really do need God in our life. The second reason this morning for hearing these stories at this point in the Christian calendar has nothing at all to do with us or our sin. Think about that. It has nothing to do with us and our sin. It's purely external to us. It has everything, though, to do with learning that it is God who brings life out of death, and it is that God is the one acting for our redemption. It's God. It's not us. Our knowledge of God's identity is often tied to God's action for, or in some cases against, humanity. He does act for us and against us. God says repeatedly in the Old Testament, "You shall know that I am the Lord." And it is always related to divine activity towards humanity. "You shall know that I am the Lord your God," he says. When we witness this type of resurrection offered in our lectionary text this day, we see God's promise of restoration to God's people after they have completely cut themselves off from God's love. They said, "You know, we don't need this." We see a Savior who has the power to overcome death and yet weeps over the deaths of those that He loves. Our Lord wept at Lazarus' grave. He went there and He wept. He cried for His friend. It showed His humanness. It showed all about what was going on in that day. It showed that He was human and divine. It showed that part that we need to come in contact with ourselves. And He also did something that day whenever He brought His friend out of that grave and brought him back to life. He did that, so many say, to foreshadow what was coming next for His own life. We wouldn't be able to see it, but we would be able to experience it. We'd be able to know it in our hearts. You see, we see a God who pulls us up from the depths, but who gently makes us see to what depths we have sunk, where we have gone. Part of the story shows us who we are, but the rest of the story shows us who God is. You see, I see these stories of resurrection as God's way of giving us strength for the rest of the journey. Strength for the journey. Strength for the day. When I was thinking about what I was going to preach on this week, when I looked at the lectionary things, then I thought, "Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that." But then I said, "Yeah, I do." And then I got to reading Ezekiel, and I got to thinking about that valley of dry bones, and I got to thinking about how bad I felt. And I thought, man, if he can bring, you know, them back to life, surely I can stand up there and behave myself this morning and not feel bad too much. But I see them as a way of our own redemption, our own strength for the journey. We have to rest, but he gives us strength for the rest of the journey of life that we're on. We're on a journey each and every day. Sometimes we have those great experiences when we have mountaintop experiences, when we go on a retreat or when we go and do something to regain our strength. But Jesus beckons us to follow Him. But the journey to the cross is a daunting one. It's one that's got struggles along the way. It's one that's got life along the way. It's one that's got every day along the way. You see, for these past 5 weeks, we have been following Jesus as He instructs us, as He warns us about His eventual suffering and death. However, when faced with the reality of taking up our crosses daily to follow Him, we quickly realize there is nothing within that equips us to do it. At this point, the Lord gently reminds us that it is not about you and I. It's not about us. It's not about you and me. The spiritual work that we do during Lent was never intended to be what sustains us and what brings us the new life that we need. Rather, our spiritual work is meant only to help us clear the path so that we can see God's work in and for us. It clears out the cobwebs so we can see what God's got in store for us. It is God who will strengthen us to follow Jesus. It is God who will bring resurrection where there was only death and decay. You see, it was God who was there in that valley with Ezekiel when he saw all that death and destruction and there was no life there. It was God who allowed him to see that. It is God who can breathe new life into our mortal bodies. It is God who says, pay attention. Wake up. Let's pay attention to what's going on around us. Because I am the one, God says, that can breathe new life into your mortal bodies. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your breath. The breath of life that breathes into us each and every day. That breath that comes so wonderful. That breath that I've become aware of this week when I had a hard time breathing. To know that it is a sustaining part of who we are. If we can't breathe, we die. So, Lord, this day, let us know what that breath of life feels like. What your breath feels like upon us. To know that you've given us that spirit that dwells, that spirit that works, that spirit that shows us each and every day who it is you have called us to be and what it is we are about. So, Lord, as we continue on this journey from this coming Sunday, as we come for Palm Sunday, as you make that entry into Jerusalem, and through that week as we have those stories and if we have those services this week, this coming week, the next week, to say of Maundy Thursday, Holy Thursday, to know what was happening with you when you sat down with your disciples and to go through Good Friday knowing there was not a lot of good there. There was a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. And they call it Holy Saturday, the day that you laid in a tomb. And then on Easter Sunday morning, as you come to that realization of what it is that you were called to do and be, you were called to die for your children, for us, how unworthy we are. But Lord, we thank you for that gift. We thank you for that gift of life. Remind us, Lord, as we're taking this journey in these last weeks, each and every day that you walk with us and that we are reminded, Lord, of what a sacrifice you made in our lives. You gave your Son so that we could have life eternal.